Cheech, top of the circle, Horton, the drive, score! The Bruins knock out Montreal!
Welcome to another episode of the Big Bad Bruins Podcast. Yes, as always, it has been a few weeks since we've been on, but I think the Bruins have lost once in the time span from our last episode, so we haven't missed much in terms of losing. So, Chris, it is January. It's midway through January. This team is an absolute wagon, don't you think?
Bruins are definitely a wagon this year. We were talking off air about, they might win 60 games, and who would have thought that going into the season? They keep finding ways to win. It's astonishing at this point. You almost just expect them to win. They can be down 3-0. Hey, no problem. Good to go.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And again, 60 games seems like a lot, but, you know, again, talking off air a little bit, we seem to do some of our best work off air, apparently.
Right.
Even if this Bruins team goes and hits a little bit of a road bump the rest of the season, they have 39 games left. So including the 6-0 win, say they go 20-20 the rest of the way, you're still winning 54 games at this point, which it's absurd, and this is how good this Bruins team has been. And I don't think anyone at this point can realistically look at this Bruins team and think that they're somehow going to lose 20 games over the next 40 games. So very easily, I think this team can approach 60 wins. And really, a slump in my mind may come, but I can't imagine it would last more than a few games. I mean, hell, to this point, they haven't lost back-to-back games all season, and we're 43 games in.
I can't even come up with a word, just so mind-blowing. You know, every season has lulls. They haven't had one yet. And if they do, I can't imagine it's going to last very long. Because like you said, they keep finding ways to win. It's the most nuttiest thing I've ever seen in sports.
This season in particular is about just crazy numbers, crazy things. Like, first of all, the Bruins, they're picking up a point in 84% of their games. That's the next closest team, Carolina, 70%. That's absurd. Obviously, they lead in both goals scored and goals against. Their goals against numbers, I mean, this is absurd. I mean, they've allowed 94 goals. The next closest team, 116, New Jersey Devils. These numbers are absurd, and I haven't even got to point differential. They are a plus 72. Next closest team, plus 40. And a majority of these teams, good teams, are high 20s, maybe 30. So you're talking about the best team. Like, the difference between the Bruins and the next best team is, like, the best team goal differential. That's the absurd numbers that we are talking about right now.
You almost don't have a word for it anymore. Like I said, it's almost damn foolish what's going on the ice right now.
That is.
You don't want it to end. It's just I don't really have the words to explain what the hell's going on with this team this year. It's almost like from Jump Street. It's almost like, okay, this is it. Like, maybe this is actually it for, now to put a little bit of rain on the situation, but maybe this actually is it for Bergie and Krejci. The team's just saying, you know what? We're just going to play our asses out and get a cup for these two on the way out the door.
Well, think about this. Every move has worked. Not just player transaction,
right,
but move.
Right.
So you bring David Krejci back. Obviously, his presence is, and we'll get to him in a minute. Well, I'll let you wax poetically about him in just a moment. I know you're chomping at the bit there, Chris, but you'll have to wait just a second. David Krejci obviously comes back, and, he's exactly what you wanted. A guy that does more than just solidify the second line. David Pastrnak entering a contract year. Well, you anticipate, well, players entering a contract year sometimes, you know, elevate their game and get that payday. Well, he's on pace for 67 goals this season. I think that's worked. Like, I think that's worked. Pavel Zacha, we'll talk about him in a minute. Banked on himself, signed a one-year deal, and was rewarded just recently with a two-year contract extension. Another perfect addition to this team. Hampus Lindholm, trade acquisition from last year. I mean, again, kind of flew under the radar because he got injured, missed the playoffs, and, you know, you kind of forgot about him. I mean, you're talking about a number one stud defenseman on just about every team. And, you know, he's second fiddle to Charlie McAvoy. Linus Ullmark. I mean, what more can you say? The guy's 22-1. 22-2-1. And he, much like the Bruins team, his numbers kind of dwarf the competition when it comes to goaltending. So, very clearly, right now, I don't think without a doubt, is the Vezina frontrunner. So, again, all these moves. And then, Not to forget about guys like Taylor Hall and Charlie Coyle, they're dominating right on the third line. Like, how many times does Taylor Hall, and again, this might be a little bit, you know, perception's not really reality, but I think this is reality. How many times does he come up with a big play that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, whether he out-hustles, out-muscles, and it creates these offensive opportunities that the Bruins almost always bank on? And those are the things that he has been doing at a consistent basis with this entire team. Not to mention he's scoring too. Like, so everything is working, you know, for this team right now.
The thing what I think with Taylor Hall that I think might go under the radar is he might be where he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
He's got talent to be, obviously, to be a one or a two line. But the Bruins are such a wagon this year with a one and two line lines. The whole team in general, but first, the top two lines are cooking right now. They don't need Taylor Hall to be Taylor Hall. He can do his thing on the third line with Coyle where he needs it, where Coyle needs to be. So everyone's kind of in their appropriate spots at the moment.
And it creates a huge mismatch.
I think it's loosened Hall up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let him play his game, not to worry so much about having to be the guy to put the puck in the net, so to speak. You already have the Hayward Pasta.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you
Marshawn
do.
And the rest of the group. I mean, you absolutely have to sign Pasternak, period. That's it. There's nothing more to talk about. There's no what ifs. There's no nothing.
Well, and the
you
good
go to Pasta's camp, you say, what do you want?
Well,
the good news is,
it seems like there has been positive progress. And this is a guy, David Pastrnak, who I think everyone believes wants to be in Boston. You know, this isn't, you know, we've had stars here in the past where it's like, okay, you kind of can see this going 50-50. Maybe they don't necessarily want to be here, but money talks.
Right.
Like, money's going to have to talk in this situation. You know, you're not going to get David Pastrnak at a discount. But I think there's a lot of motivation on both sides, obviously the Bruins side, but on David Pastrnak's side as well, to get something done with Boston. So if that progress is being made, as there have been reports recently, that there is some positive, you know, talks going on right now between Don Sweeney and Pastrnak's agent, obviously the money, the number is still the biggest factor. And look, I don't think there's a limit to how much you can pay David Pastrnak before it gets to him being not worth it. Like, I think he's going to be worth any sort of dollar number you can realistically come up with. Because again, this is a guy that's just beyond uber talented. He's a superstar in the league, and he's still incredibly young and a guy that can anchor this type of offense for a long time. I mean, look at Alex Ovechkin. I'm not saying he's Alex Ovechkin, but, I mean, the guy has already put up 30 goals, Ovi, that is, at his age. Like, I mean, that's absurd.
Too, actually.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, think about it. The guy's got more gray hairs on his head than he's ever had, and he's still putting up 30 goals. That's the type of uber talent that Pastrnak has. Maybe not to that extreme level.
Right, right.
But he's a guy that even at an advanced age can put up 25, 30, 35 goals. And you're telling me, like, you can have that set up, this big long-term deal. Now, I don't know if it's going to be 8 years, 9 years, whatever, but we're talking a massive mega extension, and that's what's going to have to be done to keep Pasta in black and gold.
I don't really think you have to necessarily overpay the guy because, let's face it, the guy knows what he's worth. He's worth a shit ton.
Well, that's the thing, Chris. I don't think there is any number that constitutes overpaying him. That's right. The thing. But, you know, like,
what I'm saying is,
yeah, I know what you mean.
The Bruins just have to make it so they don't insult them, and they'll be fine, I think. I've seen a lot of hockey in my lifetime. I've been a Bruins fan since mid-80s, roughly.
1880s?
Right. I've never seen a pure goal scorer like Pasternak, and I consider Nealy to be a god.
Yeah.
And he's got a better shot than Nealy did.
I understand hesitating just a little bit.
The long, long pause. Nealy to me is a god. Like, no one's ever going to be above him. It just ain't happening. Except, but for just a pure shot.
Uh-huh.
Pasternak, he's got the cleanest shot I've ever seen on a Bruins team.
And he was
your typical power forward. Pasternak's not that. The one knock that people get on Pasternak is when the playoffs come, he doesn't play the physical style, so to speak.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with that. That's not his game style. He's not a power forward. He's a superstar.
Yeah.
He is what he is. He's a goal scorer. He's the type of guy come playoffs that you need to protect, not the other way around. Nealy was a whole different animal. Nealy was a physical power forward. That was his job. And he did it very goddamn well. He showed up every playoff series.
Well, and see,
that's, I think, what the knock is with some Bruins fans when it comes to Pasta. I'm like, he just doesn't show up when it really matters. Well,
you can see
ways to look at that. If you check out some of the stats against Toronto, pretty scary, no? But granted, it's Toronto and they choke, so that's probably not a good example. But
but you know, that type of criticism isn't, you know, exclusive to Pasta the last couple of years. You know, that's been the biggest gripe with this Bruins team is they've gotten to the playoffs and they've just been overmatched. And look, there were signs of those things in previous regular seasons. I mean, we talked about a little bit before we got on the air, and you mentioned, you know, how you just feel that this team is never out of it. Well, last year, that was different. They go down by two goals. Did you have any confidence they were able to come back and win a game?
No, I thought they could maybe get it down to one and make it interesting, so to speak.
But now
they're going to win.
Now it's the exact opposite.
Exactly. Bruce can be down four, and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. I'll see what happens
at the end here.
Yeah, see what happens. And it's like, you know, at the worst case scenario, they're always – there's been very few periods this season where you come away thinking, man, they just don't look right. Like, they've had a couple slow starts that don't really last that long. I mean, generally, maybe the first period, and then they come out, and you're like, oh, okay, here they are. Here are the Bruins. But again, you're talking about really few and far between stretches where in games, because we can't talk about game stretches. They haven't lost two in a row. So, you know, we can't. So we got to kind of look inside the game and say, well, how many times have they had two periods in a row where they've looked really, really bad? Or not, I don't want to say really bad, but like subpar, like looked like not like themselves. And you're going to be hard pressed to find too many examples like that.
You could probably fit on one hand how many bad periods the Bruins have played all season.
Mm-hmm.
Which is even more nuttier than their stats right now, because every team has those, you know, crummy games. This team hasn't had them. I don't know. Cup fever's already here, and it's not in February yet. I mean,
I don't blame any Bruins fan for being excited. I mean, we're talking about a team that's not just good, but to you mentioned is historically, you know, on historic pace. So, you know, again, say you have I'm doing some really, really quick math right now, but in regulation or overall, they're 34-5, not including overtime losses. Okay? They have 39 games left. So, okay. At their current pace, you're talking 63-64 win range?
Yeah, I mean, they could play below 500 and still be a 500 freaking team at this point. Yeah.
No, they'll be above 500. They would have to I don't think it's possible for them. Actually, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, they would have to lose every single game the rest of the way. Just about. They'd have to go like 4-30. And they might be, you know what I mean? That's what's crazy about it all. So, that doesn't mean, again, I mean, it's January. We haven't even got to February yet. There's still a long ways to go. But it's safe to say that this team is, you know, from execution on the ice to coaching, you know, and we both like Bruce Cassidy. We both felt that, you know, maybe it was time to move on. And look, that's been a factor, too. And this is not a knock on Bruce Cassidy. It's just Jim Montgomery has brought a different overall feel. Because, like, look, this team still has some of the same old, you know, assistant coaches. This isn't an entirely new coaching staff. But you have one guy that's kind of dictating how this team plays and what they do. And I think that's made a huge difference.
Oh, for sure. Sometimes you just need a different voice in the room. And I think it reached that point with the Bruins. Certainly Jake DeBrus is different this year than he was last few years under Cassidy. Which is another crazy thing is how good he was actually playing. He gets hurt. They still don't miss a beat with him going down. It's wild.
Well, and you know what?
Absolutely insane.
And this is something we've talked about for a while. And the point was, if you're going to hold on to Jake DeBrus, don't count on him for anything. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. Just don't go into the season saying, man, if we get this, we'll be a good team if Jake DeBrus comes through. At this point in time, we just couldn't count on that. So I think the Bruins kind of did that. Like, they had depth. So now, since they weren't necessarily banking on Jake DeBrus to be the superstar he has been, now you have that depth already. It's icing on the cake, essentially, is what I'm trying to say here. It's a really nice extra, and it's like, yeah, it's he'll be back. You know, he'll get back on the ice eventually, but it's not crucial for the Bruins' success for him to be out there every single game.
He just might be one of those late bloomers. It's just because you said he's such a streaky player to begin with, but it felt this season he was consistent for the first time in basically his career.
Since, like, really his first stretch in the league.
Right. You've really seen the glimpse now of what he potentially could actually – we don't know what he could always bring, but you might actually be able to physically see this. Like, okay, this is what we always thought this player could be. I like him. I mean, he pissed me off a few times, but that's natural. You know, the season's passed. But I always had that thought, well, you know, he's got potential for 30. That's why I predicted him to have that at the beginning of this season. This injury probably side-railed it, but
I mean, there's still time, you know. That's the thing. I don't know exactly what his projection is when it comes to coming back. So maybe I'm mistaken. Him coming back at some, you know, at least a decent amount of games left. But speaking of a decent amount of games, Chris, all the positive things that happened this offseason, perhaps the most positive, the biggest impact on this team was the return of one David Krejci. Yes, I know it's been 25 minutes and we have yet to mention David Krejci. However, he did play in his 1,000th game just the other night and joins, obviously, Patrice Bergeron and some other notable Bruins in Bruins history to have done so. He's been absolutely everything you could have hoped for in terms of being the guy that we, you know, built up and put on a pedestal all last season when he wasn't here. He's delivered and then some.
I feel like Krejci is getting more recognition now than he ever did in all the years he played here.
Don't know what you got till it's gone.
I don't exactly. I think that's kind of been the deciding factor with a lot of these people on the fence. I don't know why they would be. He's in the top 10 in virtually every category with the Bruins franchise overall. He is who he is. Put him in the rafters. Nothing more to talk about, really.
Nobody manipulates right. time and space better than David Krejci.
And the other thing about you, Krejci, he plays 1,000 games. What's he do? Doesn't score. He gets assists. Is what he does.
Well, again, you watch David Krejci play, and he does. It's the game slows down for everyone. He just, even if it's a subtle little redirection of the stick or a little tap into the corner boards or just the vision on the ice, like you can see the difference and the opportunities that it creates for everyone out there that plays with him. And you know, we had hoped for a lot of reasons, Chris. I know you followed him all around Europe this summer, you know, stalking and trying to get him to return. Almost didn't, because they were like, you know what, I would love to go play for the Bruins again, but I do not want to run into that Chris Blackie guy.
Right.
But it paid off because he did decide to come back. And again, it's been exactly what the Bruins, the best the Bruins could have absolutely hoped for. So and that kind of goes along with the theme of every move and every decision that they've made so far this offseason and this season in general has been the right one, which now, Chris, brings us to the question, what decisions could they make heading towards the trade deadline? Because how many holes does this team have, if any, and what would be an appropriate tight move? Now, I read that they were looking at Pierre LeBrun had mentioned that they were looking at Vancouver Canucks defenseman Luke Shen, the league leader in hits, a big, muscly, right-shot defenseman who could, you know, really just add another intimidating presence on this Bruins blue line. A guy who's, I think, blocked 70 shots this year and may be able to come at a somewhat reasonable price, because that's the other thing that you're going to be wrestling with if you're the Bruins is, what kind of move can we make that A, doesn't disrupt what they're doing now, B, makes a big enough impact that they're actually going to be better, and C, doesn't give up enough capital? So that could definitely be something to look at as potentially other names coming down into the mix.
I'd take him. He's been good at his blocking. They need a little bit of greenness on that back end, too. But ultimately, for me, it's simple. Sign David Pastrnak. That's all I need for this. That's all I need for the team. I don't need anything else. But I'd still take Shen.
And look, that's fair. I said earlier this season, at one point, you know, when the Bruins were off to a hot start, but you know, again, certainly not to the point where, you know, you're looking at it as they're on the cusp of doing something historic, at the very least historic in their franchise history. And I said earlier in the season that I feel like this is a year that you swing for the fences. And I've come off that a little bit, because I, you know, at the time I, again, never anticipated them being 34-5-4. Like, what the hell?
I mean, I guess if you're going to go for a swing for the fences type of move, I guess you try to get someone like a Patty Kane or something like that.
Well, that was the name that I kind of threw out there, because at the time, again, you know, we thought maybe the Bruins were overachieving a little bit, you know, great start, overachieving a little bit, but eventually we thought, okay, this is a season that you just go for it. You have David Krejci, maybe for just this season. You have Patrice Bergeron, maybe for just this season, and you're playing really good hockey. You go for it. I don't necessarily think that's a necessity now. I think they're obviously certainly good enough to have their way in the playoffs, because in years past we've looked at this team and we said, yeah, they're good, but you know, there's some bad matchups. Like, what team do you think can beat them in a 7-game series?
Nobody.
Yeah, and again, this None, is
if they play the way they're capable of, there's not a team in hockey who could beat them.
Yeah,
right now
there's no Lightning team out there that's their nemesis. There's no, like, Washington's good, but they're not, you know, the Washington before, where it's like, oh man, I hope we don't run into Washington, and
And Bruins kind of own them now in the playoffs.
Yeah, so, like, and, you know, look, New Jersey's a really good team. I don't, you know, that's another team that hasn't had, I guess, say, much recent success, or at least in this version of themselves. So, you know, who knows what they're going to do. Carolina, maybe, is that one team where you're like, oh, I hate Rod Brind'Amour. I hate their whole, you know, organization. Like, and they're real, obviously a really good team as well. But the gap between those two teams, and Carolina is number two in the league,
I actually think the Bruins would handle them relatively easily. I would say five.
Yeah.
I know that sounds crazy, well, but that's another team, Carolina, that if you go, I mean, yeah, they lost. You know, they beat them last time, but other than that, that's another team the Bruins pretty much handle in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Going back to those times in Hartford, nothing's changed. There's still the doormat for the Bruins.
Well, plus I
nothing's changed.
Well, but that's the thing. We're sitting here coming up with very, you know, really digging deep to find reasons why another team can beat them. So I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Oh, we're cocky about it. We should
of course,
be.
Of course.
What the hell should we be right now?
I mean, again, you're talking about a team that gets a point.
In 2 months, if things are different, we might have a different tone. But for right now, why not?
I'm gonna be in a drunk stupor for the next 3 months as this keeps going towards the playoffs. So, drunk with success, that is, not with alcohol. That'd be do a lot of damage to my liver. So, yeah. So look, I mean, the team is rolling right now. It is going to be interesting to see as we get a little bit closer to the deadline, if anything, other names do pop up. Obviously, watching the Pastrnak extension and kind of see where those talks go, that's really the biggest thing. Because if you can get him locked up into the season, I think that's going to do wonders and kind of keep, you know, everyone working towards the same goal here. So before we say goodbye, do you have any final thoughts, words of wisdom, any tidbits of information that you might want to get out?
Well, you know, it seems to be a name that's floating around a lot, Horvat lately,
right,
Vancouver. Now, obviously, he's having a hell of a season, and he's damn good, but you're going to have to give up a shit ton to get for him. Lysel Plus. Now, we talked off air about the guy I wouldn't mind coming in. That's Ryan O'Reilly. I don't know what his contract looks like or what it would take, but I would certainly take a look at him if you could to come in. Other than that, I don't think the team needs any changes, minor if need be, unless, like you said, you're really just going to go for it. Then you go get a big name and away you go.
Well, that big name would be Bo Horvat. But to your point, I mean, this is something where you would have to give up quite a package to get a 27-year-old center who has 30 goals. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be real. That's you really got to give something up, and it may work out that you value.
I think obviously the first thing that they're going to ask is going to be Fabian Lysell. Number one, they're going to want him, and Vancouver's familiar with him because he used to play up in Vancouver. So,
but what I mean,
that's basically your starting point for any of these big guys is him or Laurie.
And look, I mean, when you, like I said,
and
when
you do that, the other thing, are you willing to risk potentially your next superstar potentially for?
Well, here's the thing:
a guy who actually is
the Bruins have now. Superstars now, you know,
right?
And sometimes we get sold on the idea of potential and future when there's nothing guaranteed now. And
that's the problem too. Like,
and
you,
that's,
you know, you, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you go out and just swing the fence. If Vancouver comes back and asks for a prospect package for Bo Horvat, and you're not taking any notable NHL roster player off this current Bruins roster team, you might have to seriously consider it, because what's the value of prospects? Certainly in the Bruins organization. I mean, there's been plenty of stud prospects that the Bruins have had that were crucial to the future that never panned out. So,
would you do it? Would you move myself for Horvat?
I mean, one for one, absolutely. But obviously,
obviously,
that's what I'm saying. I got to know what the rest of the package is. Like, I'm not gonna you know, I'm not going to, you know, obviously they're top two centers. You're never moving.
I think it'd be something like Lysel in the first, probably, I would guess, would be your starting point, I would guess.
Which, I mean, again, I'm okay with.
I don't think I'd do it. I don't think I'd do that, actually. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm a little bit intrigued by Lysel. I think he's going to be a pasta junior in this league. Granted, he had a shit junior.
You also have to consider this, too. David Krejci, we don't know if he's coming back next year. Patrice Bergeron, we don't know if he's coming back next year. Now, I think there's a good chance, and even if they come back for maybe one more run, you pick up a guy like Horvat. He's a 27-year-old center. And I'm not saying he's going to...
probably the thinking, and like, well, I'm just going, he's going to be the next guy, so to speak, at that dot.
Yeah, so to me, I'm also considering that when you're looking at this Bruins team, because, you know, if they can prepare for the future...
into it.
Yeah, see, that's what I do, Chris. I talk people into things. Not very successfully, but I do try.
Right.
Just look at my Twitter feed. It doesn't always work that way. So,
today. I know you're arguing with someone about Brady. Come on.
No, I'm not. See, I don't argue with people about Brady. I talk sense into him. You know, that's what I do. That's what I do. Or I draw attention to idiotic tweets, and I let the swarms of realistic, reasonable thinking Tom Brady and Patriots fans take charge.
It's funny because I don't get off course a little bit, but whatever. Like, I'll see you, like, you'll be bickering with someone about Brady. It's days and then why.
Oh, of course.
And then I'll see Mike, I think his name, Victor, maybe?
Yeah.
He's right behind you doing the same shit. So it's pretty funny to see.
Well, that's, you know.
Batman and Robin of Brady.
Well, look, I have a responsibility to my hordes of followers. And I say that very.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, jokingly. I'm not really proud. It is what it is. But, you know, I know what gets them going. I know what, you know, I know what they like. And what they like is Tom Brady talking, of course, the Bruins being 4-5 this season, which again, I think we can all get behind here. So, yeah, let's just, you know, at the trade deadline, go get Bo Horvat, Luke Shen, and Ryan O'Reilly. That'll be good. That'll be a nice haul. You think?
That might be enough.
Yeah, that might be good. Enough.
They need all the help they can get anyway. They're sucking right now.
Yeah, so of course. I can't believe they lost 3-0. They've lost one game already on home ice. I can't believe it. And regulation, that's terrible. It's terrible. So,
hey, us bandits, we don't lose at home.
No. So I heard.
Hey, I tell you what. I get over 350 goals right now, so I'm doing something right on the group.
Are you forging your own Hall of Fame career? Is that what's happening right now?
Hey, listen. When it finally retires, I'm going to want the full ceremony from you when it's over.
Maybe you can rent out the garden and raise your number to the rafters.
Right. Hey, I got it. I actually got a 97 Slacky Cheeks jersey from Slapshot.
Nice. So, there you go. Right. Well, next thing you know, the Bruins will be calling to trade for you.
Hey, I'll goon in that form if they need it.
It'd make a great Disney movie, I'll tell you that.
Although
much, so.
I know, like, it's funny because Thompson and Stevie Want Milk are the two hitters. I'm kind of a diva in hockey right now online. I don't like being hit. Don't look at me. If I get hit, I'm looking for someone else to take them down. Like,
oh, I see what it is. Okay, all right. I see what type of player you are. I see.
Damn right.
Don Cherry wouldn't like you back in the day.
No, he wouldn't. He'd call me a diva.
Yeah. Well, maybe, like I said, maybe that's the move the Bruins make. Maybe they somehow turn the video game version of yourself into a into a viable player in the NHL. It'd be Slacky over there.
Like I always say, there's only room for 197 on the ice when I'm playing, and that's my ass, nobody else.
97.
That includes McDavid. He can also realize he's wearing my number, not the other way around.
Man, look at that move that Connor McDavid made. Just like Slacky. Just like Slacky. Hey. It's Slacky-like, right?
Exactly. Hey, I might be an old head in gaming, but I do get some mitts on me still a little bit.
Yeah, well, like I said, I can I've never played games with you, so I cannot attest to your abilities one way or the other, and I will refrain from speaking further on this topic. 20.
I'm going to kick your ass first. Really? Okay.
I don't remember. I seem to have...
Way. Has your remote recovered from the throttling yet? Is it still against your wall still?
I plead the fifth. I do not want to answer this question under penalty.
I'll have you know
of...
that I'm going to be cooking a turkey of a supper tonight, you know. So
oh, well, that's
it's
disgusting.
It's a double dose of this show and a turkey. So
why would you ever cook a turkey not on Thanksgiving?
Why not? It's a little bit off the rocker, but shit, that's me. So what the hell?
Clearly. Well,
you know what? I'm gonna take a picture of the drumstick for you.
Well, now I need to throw up. So that just makes my stomach upset.
I'll save you some of the skin from up here in New England when you're down there in sunny Vermont. Florida. I'm in Vermont. I'm a dumbass up north. Yeah. Right, see, I need a vacation. Me and my wife are coming down for a couple of weeks.
There we go. I'll put the ham in the oven, and we'll cook it up. Hey, it'll be delicious.
I'll eat it.
But all right, that's going to do it for us here today. We're going to be back soon. We're going to be talking about the Bruins hopefully hitting 40 wins, and then 45 wins, and 50 wins, and then hopefully next episode we can talk about the David Pastrnak contract extension. See, now you got me fiddling with my words and fumbling them. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Give us a follow on Twitter at Big Bad Bruins Pod. You can find me at IGLEN31. And of course, Slacky at Chris_Blackie. That's BLACKEY. So thank you everyone for tuning in, and we will talk to you soon.